back here in studio. Good morning. Got a cloudy sky, 23 degrees. Not just any morning, a Thursday morning, which I love. So I get to talk with Jana Gageland, our favorite historian here. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Always great to have you in here.
It's good to be here.
Love the research. Love the stories you come up with. And one more time, I'm going to let you intro this. I don't even want to talk about it.
Blizzards?
Blizzards.
I'm trying to get out of the blizzard thing, but, you know, we keep getting them.
Right.
So last week we touched a little bit on the 1966 blizzard. And since that time, a lot of people have been telling me stories. And the most common theme was the excessive wind, 70-mile-an-hour winds. Around here we got 10 inches. But we have to remember that this was what they call an unscheduled blizzard because the days previous were warm.
This came out of nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, it was like 32 degrees, 35. And then all of a sudden, March 2nd through the 5th, we had, we had 10 inches. Bismarck probably had 5, But there wasn't really any part of the state that escaped. So I came across a book called The One to Remember, written by a couple of North Dakota kids, and The Relentless Blizzard of March 1966, and it covers the whole state.
Wow.
It's probably about 600 pages, so it's very, very inclusive of all of the areas, with stories of each of those areas.
Now, did you say this was a three-day blizzard?
The 2nd through the 5th.
Wow.
Yeah. It wasn't until the end of the 5th, which would have been a Saturday, until things settled down. So I'm just going to share a few things.
Yes, please
from that book. If I tried to incorporate stories for people from what they've been telling me,
we'd be here for 2 hours.
Yeah, we
would. I get it.
Yep. So the one thing I had forgotten, and the book brought it to my memory, was that we were the number one team. Wahpeton High School was the number one team in boys basketball. We went to Valley City for the regional tournament. And then, of course, from there, the top two go to the state. So we went to Valley City, nice weather, ready to play basketball. And there wasn't another team that could get there. So we spent 4 days in Valley City and never played a game.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Yeah. So by the time we got back, we had to turn around back to Wahpeton. We had to turn around and go back and quickly play a regional because the state was the next weekend. So they didn't even get a championship game. The top two teams just went.
Weather. It yeah. does affect everything.
Oh, yeah.
It?
Mother Nature got really angry there.
Right.
Wahpeton had a large plow, but it broke down during that time, of all things. So the National Guard brought in some of their equipment, probably not as heavy duty as what we have or had, but certainly could handle some of the snow.
Right.
So that was nice. there was a fire on Friday night, a fire at an upholstery shop. Ponco's Upholstery Shop. Some people maybe remember it.
Where was that located?
It was on 9th Street. It was a corner.
Okay.
And the firemen had to follow a plow to get there.
Unbelievable.
Yep. Some of the streets were fine, and some were clogged, You never knew what you're going to run into. I remember reading a guy from, I think it was Lidgewood, was going to deliver a bottle of gas to a family so they could, keep heating and whatever. And he lived on the south side, and he was going to the north side. It took him 2 hours to get there and back. Yeah, in the little city of Lidgerwood. Terrace Lanes, part of their roof collapsed because of the weight of the snow. So that was kind of interesting. This one, I'm not sure how this all worked out, but they said that at the college campus, of course, we had students who were stuck there in the dormitories, and a lady named Gloria was on the second floor of the dormitory, and she said that the only way to leave the campus was to open the window on the second floor and then jump out and slide down the... And I'm thinking, well, you did that, but how did you get back in?
I just got that picture in my head.
Yeah.
It
was probably a drop of maybe a couple feet or something, but that's what they did.
And did they get back in?
Well, perhaps the snow was hard enough that
they could just climb right back up.
I think so.
Well, with 70-mile-an-hour winds, and we talked about this, packing everything down, which might account for the roof collapse at Terrace, too.
Sure. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Right. And it was not unusual for a 6-foot drift to be someplace. They brought in food on, you know, to the campus because nothing would have been open. Some businesses tried to stay open, but they ran out of milk and bread and, you know, essential things.
Sure.
So then when that was, they just thought, well, my life is valuable. I better close up now because people have had an opportunity to come in. There was another science campus one. This was Mitchell. Mitchell had parked his car in one of the parking lots, and it was the only car that was not buried under a pile of snow. So being the entrepreneur that he was, he used his car to shuttle people back and forth, but he only charged a dollar. But he made a lot of money. You know,
I bet he did.
That was a lot back in the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, gosh. We look at the TV schedule from, because I think a lot of people just, you know, kind of
sitting at home watching TV.
That's about all they had to do.
Yeah.
So we had Channel 6, Channel 4, Channel 11.
Uh-huh.
So we had Daniel Boone, Laredo, Dean Martin, Camp Runamuck. Do you remember Camp Runamuck? Probably
not.
No. No, it was a summer camp, and there was a camp for boys and a camp for girls.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the stories of how they, you know, just ran around at, you know, and visited each other's camps, I suppose. Hank, there was a program called Hank. Hank was a college kid, but he attended college but not really ever enrolled as a student.
Mm-hmm.
So it was his adventure of staying one step ahead of the college
official.
So
he just showed up for class but not really a student.
Right. Mr. Roberts.
Oh, yeah.
Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The Munsters, Gilligan Island, My Three Sons, Wild Wild West.
Taking me back.
I mean, I think we even have reruns going of these.
Yeah.
Hogan's Heroes, Gomer Pyle, The Smothers Brothers, Batman, Gidget, Henry Fife. I had to look this one up.
Henry Fife.
Henry Fife was an accountant, but he led a double life because he was also an agent.
A secret agent.
Yes.
That was a decade for it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It was. Bewitched, The Rifleman, Flintstones, Tammy, The Addams Family, and The Baron. That one, I had to look that one up, too. And again, this was an antique dealer, but he was also a CIA agent.
Double operative. I love that.
Yes, yes. So we have lots of snow piles. I think snowmobiles were the mode of transportation to get around.
They would have to be.
Yeah, and people just had to wait and wait. And, well, their street might get plowed out, but the next one maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a wrap on the
1960s. That is fascinating stuff.
But
we were talking before, maybe we should stop talking about it. It might quit snowing.
Well, I would hope. But the name of the book, again, is One to Remember, The Relentless Blizzard of March 1966.
And it covered the whole state.
The whole state. And they divided it by towns, you know, so they would have like five little cities in one chapter.
Right.
You know, so. But they did a nice job. So
good stuff.
It was a fun. I didn't read the whole thing, of course, but it was what I did was great. And you know, I remember. You know Virginia Gerger, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah, absolutely.
She has told many times of her son being born during that blizzard. Yeah, and how she had to follow the snowplows into Wahpeton or Breckenridge from Lidgerwood. So yeah,
fascinating stuff.
Yeah,
I could listen to that all day.
Yeah, it was good.
Do you want to tease next week and what you'll be back with then, or do you just want to keep that a secret?
Well, it could be a secret.
Okay.
You know, I've been working on it. I got a couple things I'm working on.
All right.
So it you know, this week just got pushed to next week. So
right.
Be ready.
All right, Janet. Love the segment. And thanks for stopping in.
You're welcome.
It's Wahpeton History with Janet Gageland. We do this every Thursday at 8:10, the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW. Good morning.
When you think of a local crop and farm insurance agency, think Bayer Insurance. They're your local ag agency. Their farm policies cover all aspects of your farm operation and offer the most all-risk coverage available at a very competitive price. Bayer Insurance Agency knows multi-peril crop insurance. Let Bayer Insurance Agency review your coverage, and together they can properly cover your 2023 crops.